you can't. Didn't say that. Didn't say you get what you want. And they're talking about getting what you want for yourself. You can ask what you'd like somebody else to have, and God said, I'll give it to you. He's talking about ask what you will for somebody else, because this mind must be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, to get what you want for somebody else. Praise God. And Jesus wasn't around asking anything for himself. The only thing I ever remember Christ asking the Father for was, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. I'd like to get out of this. But if it's not your will, thy will be done. And he submitted to the will of God. He despised the shame of that old cross, the Bible tells us. He despised that shame. The Apostle Paul relates that to us. That Jesus, you know, is now set down on the right hand of God. He despised the shame of that old cross. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, he says he hated the shame of that cross that he had to bear for you and I. And I'll tell you, we do too, but God says, I'll give you grace to bear it. Now, one more thing about fasting. We want to get to the little book of Joel here very briefly. Time's running out, but we want to turn your attention quickly to Joel 2. And this is the real practical part of fasting, because it applies to our very day and hour and moment in which we find ourselves living witnesses to the breaking of this great storm upon us that the prophets and Jesus and the apostles predict. And Joel, beginning in verse 1, Joel 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, you old men, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. In other words, if you're an old man, like it says, a woman, you tell your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren about it. Because he said, that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten. These are these spiritual termites that has destroyed what God's people ought to be having today. That is, the real love, the real gifts, the real power, the real faith, the real holiness, the real unity has been the termites, the old spiritual termites and parasites, has come in here and undermined and destroyed the very foundation of the church. That's the word of God. All right? He said, listen here. First came the palmer worm, and he devoured. And what he didn't get, the locust got. What the locust didn't get in the church, the canker worm ate it. And what the canker worm didn't get, the caterpillar got it. Brother, I tell you, them things are pestilence. When they go through your crop, you don't have nothing but wood and stubble left. Stubble, mostly. He said, awake, you drunkards, and weep, talking about these spiritual drunks today. God wants drunks on the spirit to sober up. Said, weep and howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. It's cut off from your mouth. And I'll tell you, the real Holy Ghost is not doing any great work in this society. Brother, if it was the Holy Ghost doing everything that's claimed to be the Holy Ghost, our nation wouldn't be in this sore travail and in this depression and in this recession and in this stinking sickness and that's having its death rattles upon us. We wouldn't be a polluted, perverted society. You wouldn't see the homosexuals out here vaunting themselves against God's people and in the Word of God like we see the preachers and the people of God. Well, if we just kept our spiritual eyes upon Jesus and upon the Word of God, we wouldn't see these conditions. And I'll tell you, it's not the work of the Holy Ghost we're seeing today. God wants us to prepare our hearts for a revival that will be poured out in the midst of the rising persecution that's coming upon the church. That's when revival will come, when God's people begin to fast and pray. And it's going to take persecution. Then he says, a nation has come upon my land strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath a cheek teeth of a great lion. That's the devil. He's laid my vine waste. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. No wonder the church is dead. You bark my fig tree. Fig tree is a type of the gift of healing. That's dead. He hath made it clean, bare, and cast it away. The branches are made white. Lament like a virgin. Verse 9, the meat offering, the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. Verse 10, the field is wasted, the land mourneth, the corn is wasted. The corn, that's the wheat of God's word. the real kernel of God's word. The new wine is dried up. The Holy Ghost is dried up. The oil languisheth. The anointing is just not here. Then he said, be ashamed, O ye husbandmen. How, ye vine dressers? The harvest of the field is perished because the vine is dried up. That's our connection with Christ. He's the vine. The fig tree languisheth. That's the healing. The pomegranate tree, that's the gifts of the Spirit. The palm tree, that's the rest of the Holy Ghost in the Holy Ghost. The apple tree, that's the fruit of the Spirit. He said all these trees are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. And I'll tell you, we're seeing a withering of that joy. Then he goes on and says in verse 14 what to do about this terrible thing. Sanctify your fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. And what do you say? Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. It's coming upon us quickly. And we look around and verse 16 says, here's what you see. Is not the meat offering cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? Sure it is. The seed is rotten under their clods. That's the word of God. Is under the stinking clods of carnality in the people of God. A lack of love and compassion for the lost prevails today. The garners are laid desolate. That's the storehouses. The barns are broken down. The corn is withered. The word of God is just withered up. It's not even being used in most places. He said, how do the beasts groan? Verse 19, to thee will I cry. The fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up. That's the Holy Ghost. And the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Then in verse 2, he tells the prophet what to do about it. And that's what we're doing, beloved, in this ministry. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Wake up the church, in other words. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It's nigh at hand. It's a terrible day of darkness and gloominess and clouds and thick darkness. A fire is coming that's going to be burned before us, verse 3 says, as the Antichrist army is raising up against the society. They'll burn everything before them. That's like the Garden of Eden. And behind them will be nothing left but a desolate wilderness. All right, skipping on down for brevity in verse 11. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Speaking of this army of the Antichrist that's going to bring sore travail to this old fun-loving society. It's going to bring persecution to the church. God says, it's my army. It's going to obey my bidding. For his camp is very great. For strong is he that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? There also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and wring your heart and not your garment. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and even the babies that suck the breast. Get the bridegroom and the bride out of their closets. Let the preachers, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, that the heathen should not rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where's your God? You guys saying you've got gifts and anointing and love and faith and power and holiness. Why don't you produce something? I tell you, it's beginning to be a reproach among God's people. God said, if you'll proclaim this fast, if you'll turn to me with all your heart, if you'll purify your heart and life, then the Lord will be jealous for his land and pity his people. And he'll send you the corn and the wine and the oil. In verse 25, I'll restore to you the years the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army, which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty. Thank you, Jesus, for the great promise that you haven't given up on the church. You haven't given up on this generation. You haven't given up on our families. Hallelujah. Thank God. I thank you, Lord, for this voice of hope. We praise you in Jesus' name, Father. I pray that you'll mightily move your hand to open every heart and soul to receive this message on practical fasting and prayer and what it'll do to restore the church and God's people to their former glory. God, you want to share some of your glory with the church. As the scripture said in Isaiah 61 and 2, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord hath risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of your shining. Thank God, through the persecution that's arising, the church is going into a sore travail, into the crucifixion of the flesh, in prayer and in fasting. And Lord, I thank you, there's a promise of the restoration.